Ramsey Solutions presents Chris Brown's True Stewardship.
What if American households today got serious about stewardship? Not some old historic church word and not some fundraising campaign, but true biblical stewardship, managing God's blessings, God's way, for God's glory.
Welcome to Chris Brown's True Stewardship. Here's your host, Chris Brown.
Well, hello, folks. I'm coming to you from the headquarters of Ramsey Solutions. This is Chris Brown's True Stewardship, where we talk about the good, the bad, and the not-so-brilliant things that we do in life and with money. We're reclaiming stewardship, and God has a lot to say about money and about living this life intentionally for His glory. Much more about that at stewardship.com. Be sure to check it out. That's stewardship.com. This is your show, America. Email me with your question at chrisonair@stewardship.com. Phone lines are open, 866-357-3283. That's 866-357-3283. You call in, and we will talk. Let's go to our first call. Liz calling in from Corpus Christi, Texas. Liz, how are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm thankful. How can I help you?
I was wondering about these multi-level marketing companies that have become, it seems like, more popular recently. And kind of just the fact that, you know, it just seems a little bit odd the way that they want to run the business. Basically, once you accept or show interest, it's secretive, and it's all part of the business and trying to gain interest. But I have tried the product, and the product is great, and my concern is just, you know, is this something that you recommend, or should I stay away, just being that I want to be in a business where I can speak to the product and not something where I feel like I'm, you know, doing something that I just don't feel, I guess, good about morally.
Yeah, well, I think the biggest factor is risk. I think you can engage, and if you believe in the product is number one, what I'd be looking for. Do I believe in the product enough where I don't feel like I'm selling if someone doesn't care about kitchen knives? For me, I don't really care about kitchen knives. So if I was going to go out and have to sell kitchen knives, it'd be very difficult for me to do because I don't care about kitchen knives. So I would make sure that you care about the product. If you don't care about Tupperware, don't try to sell Tupperware. So that would be number one, is that when you're going to discuss this product with people, you want to make sure that you genuinely feel like you're serving them, that they've got to have this product. They've got to have this because it's going to make their life better. If you've got the feeling, if you feel like you are serving people, you're going to feel a lot better than if you're trying to sell people. And so that would be number one, the first thing I would think of. Number two is I would remove all the risk. So I wouldn't put a ton of money forward. I wouldn't put really any money forward at all unless you're out of debt. But if you're currently in debt, I wouldn't engage in any kind of anything where you're investing into any kind of a business. But I would remove the risk. So if they're saying, hey, you need to have a $3,000 buy-in on this thing, I would go out and talk to a bunch of your friends and see if you can sell them on this product before you have to invest anything. And gauge how that feels. How did that feel when I was talking to them? Did I feel like I was being pushy? Did I feel like I had to be pushy? Did I feel like I was putting them out? Did I feel like they felt obligated? Get a feel for that, because that's going to be your a big part of your client base. For me, though, you know, if someone has really good social skills and they're just good with people and they're a hard worker, I'd like to stay away from them. I don't want to lump them all in the same category and say they're all bad, because they're not all bad. But traditionally, only the people that are on the ground floor of these things really make a ton of money. Those that get into it late in the game, there's not a whole lot. It's not as productive as going after it and getting a traditional job or opening up your own business. So I don't want to lump them all in the same category, Liz, but I would say that I would reduce your risk and make sure it's something that you believe in.
Yes, absolutely. Okay, that makes sense. That's some great advice.
All right, Liz, thanks for the call.
All right, thank you very much.
Well, what a great call that was. I don't want to, again, I don't want to group all multi-level marketing organizations into one group, but this one seemed a little bit sketchy. It seemed a little bit just off. Something in my spirit told me that wasn't a good idea. And so hopefully Liz will do a little bit more research and remove the risk from that situation there, that possible quote unquote opportunity. As we're on the subject, I want to make sure you guys know about a great resource That's available at stewardship.com. Again, stewardship.com. And that's Entree Leadership. We've got tons of Entree Leadership resources for you there at that website. And that is the playbook of what is working so well for the last 20 plus years here at Ramsey Solutions. It's a playbook that Dave Ramsey put together and the team. We have 460 plus staff people here at Ramsey Solutions. And I'm telling you, this thing is a well-oiled machine. I don't take any credit for it, but I do get to benefit from it. But you want to make sure you check that out. Entree Leadership, and that's at stewardship.com. I also want to point you guys to the Proverbs. Read a proverb a day. I mean, all this stuff, everything that we're teaching is straight out of the scriptures. Here's, take this one, for instance. This will really help Liz. Proverbs 18:15, the heart of the discerning acquires knowledge, for the ears of the wise seek it out. Again, the heart of the discerning acquires knowledge, for the ears of the wise, they seek it out, seeking out knowledge. She doesn't know enough facts about this opportunity. And so we want to make sure she gets more knowledge. Read a proverb a day. It will keep the bad decisions away. You're listening to Chris Brown's True Stewardship. Aaron, this is Chris Brown. How you doing?
I'm good. How about you?
I am doing great. You're from Pensacola, I hear?
Yeah, I'm currently stationed here in Pensacola, Florida, actually just for a few more days.
So what do you do?
I am currently working with the United States Navy, actually.
Okay, and what's your role there?
I am part of the air crew community. So basically, we are the enlisted guys and gals that get to fly in the planes with the pilots. So we're in the background, in the back of the plane, just doing all types of different things, working on systems and helping keeping America safe.
Wow. Well, thank you so much for your service. I love Pensacola with the Blue Angels. I know Pensacola is proud of the Blue Angels,
oh, yeah,
too. But
you can't turn the corner without seeing something Blue Angels.
So true. That's so true. Have you ever been to Pensacola, folks? That is truth. Well, how can I help you?
Well, you know, now that I'm in the Navy, I've been able to kind of center myself more on my finances, and it's given me the opportunity to get myself out of debt. But I want to do it smartly. So I've started listening to Dave Ramsey and trying to get myself together with following the steps, the four steps. So I'm working on that right now. But I just want to see what I need to do as far as when I get through those steps, what's a good plan of action for now and in the future.
Yeah. So where are you at in the journey now? What's your household income?
Well, right now, because I'm just starting out here in the Navy, as enlisted, I'm just an E3. So it's basically right at that 20,000.
Okay.
The good thing about that is, I don't have, you know, I don't have to pay for rent. I do get 3 spur meals a day. So I am saving money there.
Yeah.
But I do have a car payment, insurance for that, and a phone bill, and then I have some student loans, and some credit cards.
And do you have any money saved at all?
Right now I have about 500 saved. So I'm working towards that 1,000.
Okay. Yeah. Is that 500 set aside from your checking account, or is that 500 in your normal operating account?
That is set aside.
Okay. So it's actually,
I'm not
good, good, good. Step one would be to get that to 1,000. You know that already.
Right.
Now, as you get into your debts, so this would be your step two, let me back up a little bit too. And I'd say, you know, I don't know if you're doing this already or not, but to even get through the baby steps, you're going to need to be on a budget. You need to plan, you know, where's that 20,000 going? Every
right.
single dollar needs an assignment.
Right.
So and if you've been listening to Dave at all, you've probably heard that as well.
Absolutely.
But as you get into step two, you want to make sure you list them all. List them all from smallest to biggest. Don't worry about the interest rate.
Okay.
And when you say you want to pay off your debt smartly, what I hear is, well, I hear that a lot, and I hear people saying, well, I want to pay off the 8% before I pay off the 6%. I want to pay off the, and this is not a mathematical thing.
Mm-hmm.
This is not, you really want to get the smallest one out as fast as possible, then get the next one, then get the next one. And you want, what you want to do is that payment that you now have saved by paying off the smallest one, you take that payment and you add it to your next smallest debt. So now you're making almost double payments on the next one.
Okay.
And then you're just going to keep doing that through the biggest one. But the whole idea is that throughout the journey, you feel this progress and it fuels you to more and more progress. So if you start paying off the biggest one, even though it has the biggest interest rate, you're not going to feel a whole lot of progress, and you're not going to be motivated.
Right.
So tackle them, the smallest one to the biggest one, despite the interest rate.
Okay.
Because most of the time when we do the analysis over people's debt over 18-month period, you're looking at like a $300 or $400 difference in interest throughout all those 18 months. And that's really not the issue. The issue is we've got some behavior change. We got to eat on rice and beans for you. You don't have to worry about the food piece, but you just got to live on pretty much nothing. Try to see as much of that $20,000 as you can push towards this debt. Do that for a year or two. And what's your total amount of debt that you have?
I am right at about $23,000.
Possibly without rent and without food, you're looking at $40,000 over 2 years. Mm-hmm. You can maybe pack that. You can maybe do this in maybe two and a half years if you're aggressive.
Okay.
But yeah, it's just going to mean, you know, for entertainment, you're going to go out and play tennis with some Goodwill tennis balls.
Sure.
And some used rackets instead of going to play golf. You know, it's just a big difference.
Right.
You're just still going to have fun, but just do it smart.
Sure. Okay.
All righty.
Yeah. Very good. Thank you so much. You have a good one.
Well, let's see who's up next. Who's our next caller? We've got Rob. He's calling in from Utah. Rob, how you doing? Welcome.
Doing well. How are you?
I'm very thankful. How can I help you?
I just had a couple things I wanted to run by you, some scenarios. I got married about 8 years ago, buying a house and putting a big chunk of money down on that. And then all of a sudden my student loans come due and then I owe $36,000 in student loans. However, during this time, I was able to save about $50,000. The problem now is that the last couple of years I made quite a bit of money with my company. Every year that I've been there, they keep making commission changes. They keep reducing the structure down by about 34%. And so for easy math, if I was making $100,000 last year, it could make about, what, $64,000, $66,000, somewhere in there, I guess. And so now because I have debt that I can wipe out with my emergency savings, if you want to call it that, I'm afraid to, because really what I can rely on is that lower amount, that $30,000. And so I just wanted to get your feedback on what you think I should do with the money I have. And one little caveat to that is part of that $50,000 is about $14,000 that my wife and I have been saving for several years to buy a recreational vehicle. It might not take that much money. We'd love to find it for significantly less, but I don't want to use that to pay any debt off, because we've worked really hard and slaved over just adding, you know, dollars and pennies and cents for a long time so that we could save up and pay cash for something.
So what I wanted to do is, as we start kind of diving into this a little bit, I want to kind of remove the complexities and kind of simplify it for you. Are you okay with that?
Certainly.
All right. So number one is your income. Let's just go ahead and say it's 65K. That simplifies your whole entire income scenario. Anything above that's a bonus. It's just gravy, okay? So let's plan on 65K, and I would budget for 65K. That's your bottom number. Then anything bonus, then you can ask yourself, if anything is above that, what would be the priority? And we'll talk about priorities in just a minute. Your total amount of debt, I hear, is 30K. Is that still accurate?
I have a $9,000 car loan, and then I have $33,000 in student loans.
Okay, all right. And then the amount of cash on hand, is that still 50K?
54.
Yeah, here's the deal. You've got three things that you've proven. You've got three things working on your side. Number one is you have an attitude of personal responsibility. So that whole idea of I put myself in this position and I want to get myself out, that's huge. Number two is you've got proven success in paying off debt. You've done it before, so that's great. Number three is your ability to generate income. You've obviously proven that you're going to go get her and you're going to get out there and you're going to make some income. So I think those three things remove a lot of risk in your life. So what I would do is I would keep $18,000 that's liquid. Now, 14 of that is, you know, it's going to be going to have a co-purpose. It's going to also be for your recreational vehicle later. But at least that right now, it is like your emergency fund. If you had to touch it, if your car went down, you didn't have any transportation, you can go out and get a $10,000 vehicle and stay safe. But the rest of all that money needs to go towards that debt. Get rid of that. Get rid of those payments and get yourself in a good position again. And so what we would teach in Financial Peace University is, number one, you get the $1,000 emergency fund. Okay. Number two is pay off all debt. Number three is to have 3 to 6 months. And I think you can get to baby steps 1, 2, and 3 right away. I think you can do that right away. Then you start talking about retirement and kind of going on from there. Whatever you've done in your 401k, whatever you've done so far, just obviously don't touch that. Don't pull from it. Keep it where it's at. But what we're talking about is limiting your risk. We're an assessment of risk. Let's get you completely risk-free. Let's get all the debt out of your life. And then when you free up all this money in your monthly budget, then you can double time the retirement and get after it. But for right now, you want to remove all risk and put yourself in a good spot. So that's definitely the course of action. You want to get that money in your emergency fund, and you want to make sure you pay off that debt, and then you go from there. The good thing is you have a tremendous ability of generating income, and you're a go-getter, and you have that personal responsibility. So I definitely want to encourage you to continue to have that mentality and go from there. So thank you so much for the call, Rob. We appreciate you, and we'll talk to you real soon. All right, the key is we've got to take control of our money. If you're ready to take control of your money, then Financial Peace University is the plan for you. With 9 biblically based and easy to follow lessons, Financial Peace University has helped over 2.5 million families get out of debt and learn how to handle money God's way. Take the first step towards changing your future with the Financial Peace University DVD home study. Just visit stewardship.com, that's stewardship.com, or call us at 888-22-PEACE.
You're listening to Chris Brown's True Stewardship. If you have a question for Chris, email him at chrisonair@stewardship.com. That's chrisonair@stewardship.com. Or call him at 866-357-3283. That's 866-357-3283. Now, let's continue with Chris Brown's True Stewardship. Here's Chris.
And our next caller is Rachel, calling in from Michigan. Rachel, how are you?
Good, how are you?
I am thankful. How can I help you?
My husband and I have 3 kids, and 2 more on the way.
Congrats.
Our van, thanks. We had 2 vehicles, a van and a car. But our van is basically totaled. The repairs on it are about as much as it's worth, which isn't much. And so my husband, he makes $35,000 a year, which he has to work overtime just to pay our bills. So we're just kind of having a hard time figuring out how to get another vehicle. As of right now, our whole family can fit in the one car, but, you know, not for too much longer. So it's kind of in a predicament here.
So the one vehicle is a van, and that is going to work for all 7 of you?
Yeah, it would if we fixed it. It has like $900 of repairs on it.
Okay.
And it has like 210,000 miles on it. So it's, it's not long for this world either way, but yeah.
Okay. And are you working inside the home or outside the home?
I'm not. No, I stay home.
And so having one vehicle right now, how's your other vehicle? Is it safe?
It's okay.
Okay.
For now, it's okay.
And does it fit all 7 of you?
No, it's just a little car.
So. Okay. So we got to move something for sure. Okay. And your husband's making $35,000. Is that currently with overtime or is that without overtime?
That's without overtime that he makes that, but
and
that
what,
doesn't cover the basic bills, really. So.
Do you guys have any debt currently?
About $2,000 in credit cards and then probably about $100,000 in student loans between the two of us.
$100,000?
Yeah.
Okay. And then your house is how much?
We owe about 90.
Okay. And so you guys are bringing in about, looks like about 3,000 a month. And out of the 3,000 a month, which you probably only get in about 25 of that after taxes, right?
Yeah, a little bit less than that, but yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So, how much is all your debt payments coming out to each month?
We actually, all of the student loans are in deferral except one, which is only $50. And then the credit card is about 50. So we only pay about 100 right now on our debt. And then mortgage is like 700.
And do you have anything in savings?
Nope.
All right. Well, you've got, 2 different sides of the balance sheet we need to look at. Number one is the expenses. And then the other side is the income. The obvious, on paper, the obvious thing is the overtime might not be an option. Overtime seems like, it's just part of the, if you want to stay at home and you want to have 5 kids, either we need to get into an industry that pays better. So we might think through like maybe some online courses, something that, maybe he can make an industry jump or just more hours of work.
Mm-hmm.
So that would be one, and I would think that that's probably with your debt scenario, if you want to get out of that in the next, I'd say 4 to 6 years, if you wanted to hammer it, he's going to have to do a lot of overtime.
Yeah.
On the other side of the balance sheet, the expenses, you want to make sure you take care of your four walls, which are your shelter, which it looks like you're obviously doing, clothing, mm-hmm. and then your food and your transportation. And now the transportation, mm-hmm. I think from the outside looking in, one vehicle is going to work for a while. But you're going to mm-hmm. switch vehicles. So I would get as much money as possible saved on the side, which means you have to live on beans and rice, live on pretty much nothing, and save up enough money mm-hmm. to trade in the 2002 and get a better vehicle that works for all seven of you. He might need to put in some, 70, 80 hour weeks and just hammer it. Give you guys okay. about an extra $2,000 or $3,000 for you to trade in the 2002 and then put $1,000 in an emergency fund. And then the remaining $2,000 to $3,000 put towards a more safe, efficient vehicle that all 70 of you can fit in.
Okay.
After that, then we're going to start paying off that debt. But make sure you don't miss the $1,000 emergency fund, that you put that aside. I know you're going to want to put it towards your next car, but I would make sure that you put that. You're going to sleep better at night having that $1,000 put to the side, and I wouldn't spend okay. that. But okay. it's going to take a couple months of him hammering it and then him coming home and you being very, very sweet to him.
yeah.
Being very, very kind. But kids are a blessing. They're a blessing from God. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, it's very difficult to raise five on 35,000. So let me leave you with a verse, Rachel, and that's Psalm 147, verse 11. It says, "The Lord delights in those who fear him, who put their hope in his unfailing love." And I know there's probably some times where you maybe lack a little bit of hope and you're like, man, this is a pretty big burden to bear. And I thank you for being so open with us on the air. But I know there's some moments where there's no hope. And I just want you to rest in that verse. The Lord delights in those who fear him, who put their hope in his unfailing love. And so I just want you to know that hope is available to you, and you know it's there. And then I also want to point you towards one of our resources, Total Money Makeover. It's a great book. And Rachel, what we're going to do is we're going to send you the Total Money Makeover.
Oh, thank
we're going to send it right to your address. So when we hang up, our producer, Bob, is going to get your address and we're going to send it your way. Okay?
Okay.
Thank you so much for the call, Rachel.
Okay. Well, thank you very much.
All right. I got an email here. Again, you guys can email me at chrisonair@stewardship.com. Again, that's chrisonair@stewardship.com. This email comes to us from Dewan in Georgia. It says, "My father and I are 50-50 owners in a corporation and are members of different churches. I've always tithed on my personal income, but my father doesn't. Should we tithe on personal income also, or just from the business? I understand it all is his, it's all God's, but I just want to do it right." Great question. Here's what I would say. You don't tithe on a company. There's nothing in the scriptures that say that you would tithe on a company, but you need to tithe on net profit, which is your net increase. That's what the Bible, Deuteronomy says, net increase. And that is your profit. That's what you take home. And off of that is your personal. You need to tithe off of that and tithe towards your local church. So he would do his and you would do yours. Again, Deuteronomy chapter 14, verse 28 says, tithe off the net increase. And in business, that's profit. So remember what the Bible says also when it says that God blesses generosity and we must be like God when he gave. John 3:16 says that he gave his one and only son. He modeled it for us. So we want to have an attitude and a spirit of giving. So in your business, might not be called a tithe, might not be a tenth, but you want to have a generous business. You want to be involved in philanthropic things in the community. You want to be serving the community in whatever way possible. So a generous spirit, but when it comes to tithing, the tenth, that's off of your net profit. Great question. Thank you so much, Dewan. That wraps up this edition of Chris Brown's True Stewardship, brought to you by Ramsey Solutions. Now, this is normally the point in the radio shows where the show host asks you, the show listener, for your financial support. But we're not going to do that. We're here as a free service. But in order to be able to keep providing this free service, we need you to help by telling your friends and family to, one, listen to the show, and two, check out stewardship.com. So thank you for helping spread the word. As always, let's stay connected at Chris Brown On Air on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Again, that's Chris Brown On Air. Today, we've been reminded that God has a lot to say about money. So until next time, Let's continue to manage His blessings His way and for His glory. God bless you.